This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala atamman al-akmalani khayri khalqillahi ajma'in ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa man istanna bi sunnatihi ila yawm al-deen thumma amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dearest brothers and sisters, we are the sweets. First question. Okay, let's begin, inshallah. We are at verse number either 3 or number 2, depending on which view you take on the basmala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Is it the first verse of Surah Fatiha, or is it the first verse of every single surah as an introduction? Yeah. If it is not part of Surah Fatiha, it is an introduction, like it is an introduction to every single other surah of the Quran, except for which surah? Surat At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah. So either it is verse number 2 or verse number 3. And what is the verse? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now, let us think about this in terms of a sequence. The verse before spoke about Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It ended by describing Allah to us as the Rabb of either all that exists beside Him or all different types of species or races. And those two are very, very similar in meaning. But the main point here is Allah described Himself as what? Being Rabb. What did we say Rabb meant? There's five main things. Anyone remember any of those five? Huh? Rabb was? Ex Malik, owner, sustainer, Qayyim, master. Yeah, master. He just get his out for us. So. Master. A Sayyid. Master. So after describing Himself to us as being the Master, then Allah goes further in the next verse to describe Himself more with two names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, both of which are expressing to us His merciful attribute. Yeah, His attribute of being merciful. And you have to appreciate that together. Because when I say to you, there is a master, and he's your master, and you think about the master-slave relationship, the last thing you would think about the master being is merciful. True or not? That's probably the last thing. The first thing you think when you think of a slave master, you think of oppression, abuse, yeah, aggressive. All these kind of different attributes come to your mind, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself as being the master of all that exists, our master, and then He says, I am merciful. Yeah? I am merciful. And even the two names, they are all both derived from one root, which is Rahmah. Which is Rahmah. We'll go on to what that means. But some other reflections just about the previous verse. Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said in his tafsir that the fact that Allah described Himself as merciful after He described Himself as being our master shows us the type of tarbiyah Allah gives His creation. Tarbiyah means the what kind of caretaker He is of His creation. The way He takes care of His creation is with mercy, compassion and love, as opposed to taking care of something with harshness, aggressiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the tarbiyah He gives to His creation as being one of mercy, born out of mercy. And another very interesting point Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned is he said, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah first described Himself with the name Allah, which expresses His right to be worshipped, the one that is worshipped, the one is enslaved to. And then described Himself as being the Rabb. And he said here, Allah first described Himself with the Uluhiyya before Rububiyya. And that means Allah first described Himself to human beings as the one worthy of worship, not the one that exists. Do you understand this point? Allah didn't say, the first thing mankind you need to know is that there is a creator who made everything. Rather Allah said, Allah is the one who deserves to be worshipped. And then Allah described Himself as the creator, the master of everything that exists. As if to say that human beings, you already know that you were not created out of nothing. Isn't it? It's an assumption. And if someone says human beings, they don't know whether there is an Allah or not. Yeah? They don't know. It's a clean slate. People don't know that they were created. Now this is absolutely false. Every single human being has it ingrained within them, a fitrah, which tells them many things. The first thing it tells them, that there is an Allah. And also the inclination to worship Allah. But that is where mankind mess up. Isn't it? That is where they mess up. And the story of Shaytan, Iblis, is symbolic of that messing up. Yeah, he knew Allah, but he refused to worship Allah. Yeah, and that is such an amazing story. Like Iblis, can you imagine? He spoke to Allah. In Surah Hijr, he says to Allah, قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. He spoke to Allah after he disobeyed Allah and said, my master. He described him as Rabb. Not even Rabb, Rabbi, my master. Because you misled me. وَالْعَيَّادُ بِاللَّهِ. I will then go after the children of Adam. So he knew Allah. He spoke to Allah. He affirmed with his tongue that Allah is his Rabb. But what didn't he do? He didn't want to obey and worship Allah. Isn't it? So the fact is that we know that we didn't come out of thin air. But where we mess up is that we find it difficult to be the slave of Allah. And that's why he described himself as Allah first. And then the Rabb. Okay, so now let us go to this verse. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. These two names, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, both express the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the root word is Rahmah. Rahmah can be translated as love, compassion, and mercy. How do people usually translate Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim? Any offers? How do you usually read it in the books of translation? Yes. The most gracious, the most merciful. Any other takes? The most great, the most high. The most great, the most high? No. I'm a bit concerned what translation you're reading there. You're a bit mixed up. Yes. The merciful, the very merciful. The beneficent, you heard of this word? Beneficent? Maybe you heard it, but you're scared of pronouncing it. Question, how many times have you used the word beneficent before? Gracious. It means that the translation is not really doing its job. The translation is supposed to tell us what it means. And if it's using words that we don't know what they mean, then it's not doing a good job. But the issue is that they are difficult to translate. But at the end of this dars, inshallah, I will ask you to get to your own translation based on the meaning that we have explained, to try and translate Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So, the root is Rahmah, and that means love, compassion and mercy. The ancient Arabs, okay, the ancient Arabs would refer to the womb of the mother as the Rahim. Yeah, the same root letters, ra, ha, mim, rahim. Rahimul mar'ati, the womb of the mother. And that, subhanAllah, you know, really shows us the nature of this attribute. For the womb of the mother to be called rahim, from the same root of rahma, shows us how the Arabs thought about the idea of mercy. And even as human beings that are non-Arabs, yani we can appreciate that the womb and the way the mother looks after the baby and the connection between mother and child is a connection of mercy, isn't it? I mean, no one has more mercy for another person than the mother for the child. True or not? Yeah. And this is one of the roots, rahim. Yeah. And there's an amazing hadith, subhanAllah. In Sahih al-Bukhari, most of you are aware of this hadith. But reflect over this, because this hadith brings together the idea of Allah's mercy and the mercy of the mother and her child. In a hadith reported by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, he said, once some prisoners were being brought to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning this was after the war, and there were some prisoners of war now that were being rounded up. And there was a lady, she was walking around frantically looking for something. She was looking for her young child. He'd gone missing. And anyone who's a parent here knows that that feeling is a nightmare. That feeling is a nightmare feeling. To even for a split second to not know where your child is, it can make you go crazy. So this is a scene of a mother looking for her child. Everyone noticed that she is panicking. Then Umar al-Khattab says she found her son. And what did she do? She went up to her child, embraced it, put it next to her chest, and then began to breastfeed it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to his companions, does any one of you think that this lady would be able to throw her child into the fire? And they all said, no, Ya Rasulullah. If she has the ability not to, she would never do that. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu arhamu bi'ibadihi min hadihi biwaladiha. Allah is more merciful to His servants than this lady to her child. SubhanAllah. Ajib. That Allah has more rahmah to His creation than a mother to her child. And the mother in that situation is not just any mother. It's a mother who's so concerned about her child. And it makes you think that this attribute of rahmah of Allah is powerful. Yeah, it's powerful and it's very extreme as well. It's very extreme as well. So this is the root. Now, there is one scholar, a master of the Arabic language, Al-Raghib Al-Asfahani. Many of you may have heard of him. 6th century scholar. And he wrote a dictionary of the Quran where he went through many of the words and he explained them in detail. He said about the name Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim as follows. He said, firstly, Rahmah. What does it technically mean? He said, رِقَّةٌ تَقْتَدِ الْإِحْسَانَ إِلَى الْمَرْحُومِ. He said, it is a softness, a compassion by which goodness is shown to the object of mercy. So he described it as a feeling first, رِقَّة. It's like a tenderness, softness that a person has. But he said it's more than that. It leads someone to show goodness to the object of their mercy. And then he said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah is described with rahmah, then it is more to do with the act of showing goodness to His creation. Okay? And if you reflect over that, what he's saying is that there's a difference between theory and the act itself. Like, imagine yani, someone is looking for a rishta for his daughter. And you come to me and say, I know a brother. He said, okay, tell me about the brother. He said, yeah, he's a nice guy. He said, he might be nice to his friends. Said, but is he going to be nice to Madhua? Yeah. You can't say he's a nice guy. Nice, but theoretically he's nice. But is he going to be nice? You know, that's the issue here. So, Al-Raghib Al-Asfahani, Rahimahullah, is saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's described with Rahmah, is to do with how He shows that mercy to His creation by way of blessings and grace. And if you think about it, there's one surah in the Quran named after one of these names. What surah is it? Surah Ar-Rahman. How does it begin? Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman. Allama al-Quran. Ar-Rahman. He is the merciful. How exactly? Because He taught you the Qur'an. He showed you that mercy And the, you know, the height of that mercy of Allah to mankind is He sent a man named Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he taught you the Qur'an. And that is the greatest act of mercy of God to mankind. Yeah, a lot of people don't appreciate this. A lot of people don't appreciate this, that this Islam is mercy. And you know why it's mercy? Because it saves you from Jahannam. That's why it's mercy. It's not mercy because and it will help you to achieve a state of peace in this dunya. That's secondary. It's not mercy because it makes you a nice citizen of the state. No. It is rahmah. And that's why the Prophet is called Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Not because he showed people how to be nice to each other. No. It's because he showed people how to save themselves from the fire of Jahannam. And believe me, there's no greater act of compassion, yeah, than to save someone from the fire of Jahannam. True or not? Imagine, you could feed someone for their whole life, but if they died as a disbeliever, they're going to spend the eternity in the hellfire. May Allah protect us and preserve us all. That is not compassion. To save someone from hunger is an act of kindness, but it is trumped by saving someone from Jahannam. And whoever does both of those has done the best. Yeah, whoever done both of those has done the best. So, we said, Raghib al-Asfahani said, it is more to do with the act of showing mercy to his creation than it is to do with his nature. Then he said about the name Ar-Rahman. He said about the name Ar-Rahman that it is a very unique name, such that its meaning dictates that no one else can name themselves Rahman. Because he said, the meaning of Rahman is that the mercy of God encompasses everything. Rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. Brother, if you're feeling hot, you can put the fan on in the back, inshallah, I don't mind. Rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. Therefore, no one can name themselves Rahman. Not Ar-Rahman, Rahman. Why? Because Rahman means the one whose mercy encompasses everything. And is that possible for anyone to be able to have mercy with everything that exists? No, it is impossible. So he said, just like you cannot call yourself Khaliq. What does Khaliq mean? Creator. No one can call themselves by name Khaliq, because that is a meaning which is divine. Yeah. So he said Rahman is unique in that way. No one can be named Rahman. And then he moved to Rahim. He said, Arfu Rahim, it means mercy again. And we'll discover how they are different. And he said, Rahim, it was attributed to another person in the Quran as well. Anyone know who? Who was also called someone who is Rahim? Yes. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And do you know where in the Quran? No, Surah Muhammad, no. Good attempt though. At-Tawbah, Allahu Akbar. Bismillah. There we go. Surah At-Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. This ayah, subhanAllah, unbelievable. The way Allah describes the Prophet ﷺ, really, if a person reflects over, he will be reduced to tears. He said, truly already, a messenger has come who is one of you. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. It grieves him that any harm should come to any of you. حَرِيسٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He is very anxious regarding you. Meaning he's very anxious that you are guided and end up in Jannah and not in Jahannam. وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Sorry. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And with regards to the believers, He is Ra'uf, which means compassionate, and Rahim. Rahim. Yeah, Rahim. This is the second name. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So the meaning of Rahim, he said, is different to Rahman. Yeah, this is what is the conclusion. It is different. What is the difference? Ar-Raghib al-Asfani says, the difference is as follows. As for Ar-Rahman, it refers to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He shows to every one of His creation, believers and disbelievers in this dunya. Because Allah says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. Ar-Rahman rose upon the throne, And the throne of Allah is over all the creation. So Ar-Rahman, He is to all of creation in the dunya. But then in the Akhirah, the disbelievers will be deprived from the mercy of Allah. But Allah will continue to be merciful to the believers, and that is why He is called Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim, that His mercy will extend from this dunya and continue on to touch the believers in the Akhirah. May Allah make us from those people. So he said, this is the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Okay, this is one opinion. Okay, this is one opinion. Now, to look at this in more detail. Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Linguistically, Dr. Fadil Asamurai, Hafidhullah, is a scholar, a master of the Arabic language, and he has some work on the Quran linguistic analysis, which, to be honest, is second to none. And those of you that listen to Ustad Nu'man Khan, much of what he bases his tafsir on, especially in the beginning, is the works of Dr. Fadil Asamurai. So he said, Ar-Rahman, there are 3 points to mention about Ar-Rahman, linguistically. And Ar-Rahim, there are 2 points. As for Ar-Rahman, he said, firstly, it is a mercy that is happening right now. Point number one, it is happening right now. Point number two is that it is temporary, yeah, transient. It can come to an end. And point number three, it is extreme. It is extreme. In Arabic, they call that mubalagh. Yeah, it is more intense. So, there are three things. What are they? The first is? Huh? It's happening right now? Temporary and? It's extreme. Yeah, it's extreme. Very merciful, incredibly merciful. Now, as for Rahim, it means that firstly, it has always been and will continue to be. Something that has always been happening and will continue to happen. And the second thing is that it is also extreme as well. Now, if you put them together, you find something quite amazing. And the best way to appreciate the combination of the two names is perhaps with the following example. Imagine you were shipwrecked, okay? You went on a trip, okay? And had some problems and you found yourself shipwrecked. Then you come to a desert island, okay? You come to a desert island and you see some people have inhabited the island. You don't know them, they don't know you. But you come hungry, you come thirsty, you come with nothing. And you meet the people and you say, where am I? They said, you are on an island and we have with us a king. If you want to live on this island, you got to live by the king's rules. So then he says, okay, this king, what is he like? They say the king is, they describe him as someone merciful. He says, okay, that's excellent. Fantastic. That's the first thing I wanted to hear. That king is going to show me mercy. But then, you're thinking, merciful what, to me right now? Like after I get myself sorted, get my house and my job, is he going to continue to be merciful to me? And they say, yeah, he's also permanently merciful. So that's fantastic. He's going to be merciful to me now and in the future? He said, yeah, he's always like that. Now, as well as in the future. And then, you say, how merciful though? I mean, would you? What's your definition of mercy? I mean, like, is he going to give me a set of clothes, a place to live? Would he give me a car? Like, how merciful? They said, no, he's extremely merciful. I think, wow, this is everything. I couldn't want anything more than this. Isn't it? So just imagine, Yani, the same scenario, Allah is addressing mankind, and He tells you, I'm your master. And you think, oh, my master, like I'm scared. Allah, you own me, you own everything. How will you treat me? Ar-Rahman, He's merciful to me now. And then, what about the future? What about my children? What about Akhirah? No, He's Ar-Rahim as well. And how much mercy? Incredible mercy. mercy beyond your imagination. Rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. And this beautiful compliment that you find is by placing both these names together, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, because it covers everything. It covers the past, it covers the present, and it covers the future. Yeah, it covers the past, present, and it covers the future. There's one linguistic point here to mention as well. The idea of synonyms. Yeah, synonyms. Two words that essentially mean the same thing. Now, in Quranic studies, there are two views. Some say that the mufradat, which means synonyms, can be of the same meaning as in 100%. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, some say it means exactly the same thing. Because they're of the view that synonyms can mean exactly the same thing. However, many other scholars say no. If two similar words are placed side by side, it must be the case that there are differences between the two. Isn't it? Especially if they sound different. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. There must be some subtle differences. Okay? Allah alam, perhaps this is the correct opinion, especially when Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ar-Rahman fi dunya, Ar-Rahim fi al-akhir. Ar-Rahman, merciful in the dunya, Rahim, merciful in the akhirah. Okay. Now we have the activity. Okay, what was the activity? Translate me. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Now you know what it means. You know what it means according to Ar-Raghib al-Asfahani. You know what the linguistic nuances are. So go ahead. If a non-Muslim came to you and said, look, this verse in the Quran, I read so many different translations. What's your translation? Yeah? You in pairs, I'll give you 2 minutes. Let's see who gets the best translation. You need to translate Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Your 2 minutes start now. Okay, and I'm going to pick people to tell me what their translations are. There are three spiritual lessons that we can learn just from this verse. Please write them down, I will then explain them inshallah. The first lesson is, if you want permanent mercy, you have to be a real slave of Allah. If you want permanent mercy, you have to be a real slave of Allah. Number two, never despair. Number three, if mercy is important to Allah, it should be important to us. Yeah. If mercy is important to Allah, it should be important to us. Now the first one, if you want permanent mercy, you have to be a slave of Allah. This is combining between verse Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen and Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Because Allah described Himself as the master of all that exists. Which means that we are slaves. Then Allah tells us that that mercy, Ar-Rahim, will continue to be shown to the believer. And who is the believer? He is the slave. So if you want to have permanent mercy, then you need to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this is combining between the two. And to be honest, if you look at subhanahu, the fact that Allah shows mercy to a disbeliever, someone who is too arrogant to prostrate their head to Allah. I mean, just imagine, yani, if you think of that on a human level, that's like, you're a boss of a company, okay, and you got loads of employees, maybe some of you are in this position, you've got many workers, and yeah, there's one guy who always comes late to work. You know that one guy? He always comes late to work. Doesn't matter what you say to him, don't even threaten him, whatever. He never comes on time. And then one day he not only turns up late, okay, not only does he turn up late, he doesn't do any of his work. Okay? And then he wants to leave early. Thinking, what's going on there? And then what happens? So you're still going to pay me everything, yeah? Come on. You know, had dog ye, you say in Urdu, yeah? Had dog ye. You think, what's going on? Like, what would you think, you know, of the person who still paid him in full? Think something definitely special about this person. He's not normal. Okay, normal people would say, there's the door. Okay, go and ask someone outside. You're not getting nothing from me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these human beings. He created them. and he ingrained in them the desire to worship him. Then he sent signs in the universe, each of them pointing towards his existence and his right to be worshipped. And then he sent messengers. And then he sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a Qur'an, which is a living miracle. And then you still deny and disbelieve. And despite that, Allah still shows you mercy. And it's unimaginable. Yes, unimaginable. So the first lesson, my brothers and sisters, is that you may enjoy mercy in this dunya, but make no mistake, there's no mercy for people in the akhirah if they don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, make no mistake. The second lesson is never to despair. If you think about how many times Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim are on the tips of our tongues because of the way Allah made it so prominent in this religion. Like, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How many times in your life have you said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Yeah, thousands. Thousands. Even when you read the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Part of so many adhkar. Okay? Part of so many adhkar. Allah wants us to keep on remembering that He is ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim. Yeah? And that should teach us that we should never despair of Allah's mercy. No matter what I have done, what you have done, what sins, what shameful things, what indecent things, what fraudulent things, whatever we have done, no one should ever say to themselves, Allah will never forgive me. Never. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina, ya ibadi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon His servants, La taqanatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't despair. Allah is ordering us not to do that. And what is amazing is that the one who is telling us not to despair of His mercy is the same one who knows exactly what we've done in our life. Isn't it? Allah knows everything we've done. And despite knowing all the bad we've done, He's still telling us, don't you dare despair of My mercy. Yeah, don't you dare despair of My mercy. And that should tell us that if we ever say to ourselves, No, that thing Allah won't forgive that. This is a huge mistake. Yeah, this is a huge mistake. Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And the third lesson is if mercy is important to Allah, then it should be important to us. What does this mean?
We should be merciful to other people.
Okay, we should be merciful to other people. Very good. So say that again. If we expect
to be shown mercy from Allah.
Okay, if we expect to be shown mercy by Allah, then we should show mercy to others as well. That is true. There's another way of looking at it as well, which is that if Allah is so merciful, and mercy means so much to Allah, then we should try and embody, being godly people, right? And that means being merciful to each other. And you know what is amazing is that what is the secret behind a good relationship with another person? Whether friend, colleague, family, wife, husband. Like, what is like a key component of a successful relationship? There is a verse in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the husband and wife. Yeah, you know the verse in Surah Rum? Everyone who's been married, you know, it's recited on the wedding day. Yeah? And then they forget the verse right afterwards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that from His signs is that He created from amongst yourself azwajan litaskunu ilayha wa ja'ala bainakum mawaddatan wa rahma. Yeah? And He created from in the relationship between the man and woman two qualities. The first one is mawadda. Mawadda is the affection, the ability to be affectionate towards one another. And the second is what? Rahmah. And if you really think about that, to be honest, for any relationship to flourish, there needs to be a level of mercy between the two people, isn't it? Otherwise, it's very difficult for any relationship to progress. If there's no mercy being shown from one to the other, then you just reach a place where neither party wants to continue. Even in business, true or not? Even in business, how much of a difference does you know, it make when the, your business partner just throws in a little extra. Yeah, it doesn't have to. It just goes the extra mile. It's called good customer service, you know. And don't get me started on good customer service. But the companies that give good customer service are the ones that usually do the best, true or not? And what is good customer service? Yani, it's just showing rahmah, isn't it? You know, some compassion towards the other person. So here, yani, this is a bit of a deep point that we need to reflect about the relationship we have with other people. That rahmah means so much to Allah, it means that should mean a lot to us, especially in our relationship with other people. If you are able to exercise more mercy with someone, believe me, that will go a long way in bringing that relationship and making that relationship flourish. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And the last point is the link to the next verse. Just after this, inshallah. The last point is a link to the next verse. What's the next verse? Maliki yawmiddin. Allah then says He is the owner of the day of judgment. The day where good people will be given good and bad people will be given punishment. May Allah save us and protect us. So the next verse is very different to this verse, right? In fact, it's almost the opposite. This one is about how unbelievably merciful God is. And then if you were to really reflect over this and say, oh my, so merciful, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, He's forgive it. You should never despair. Oh, you know, then what do people do? They start doing dodgy things. They say, Baisar, what's going on with the off-license? You know, I don't think you should be doing it. Yeah. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. True or not? Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Yani Allah will forgive. This interest, this riba is dangerous. Allah is merciful. Allah is merciful. See, the thing is, you can go to the extreme, thinking only about the mercy of God. Yeah? And many people do that. So you sign the next verse is a beautiful balancing of the equation. Yeah? The first verse of Rahmah makes a person hopeful of God's mercy and forgiveness. But then the other verse makes him think, hang on, there's also a possibility of punishment here as well. If I don't sort myself out, thinking about Allah will forgive me and have mercy on me, then I better think about the consequences. Maliki yawmiddin. Yeah? And this is known as Mathani. Yeah? The Quran is described as Mathani in the Quran in Surah Zumar. Allah says that it is a kitabam mutashabihan Mathani. That this book is similar has similarities. Okay, it's similar in its nature. Okay, things are similar in there, the themes. And then it's called Mathani. And Mathani means contrast or pairs of contrast. So wherever you find mention of Jahannam, for sure you'll find mention of Jannah. And wherever you find mention of a threat, you also find the mention of a promise. This is something when you go home, inshallah, read the Quran, you'll find this. Okay, and this contrasting is amazing. Well, I'll finish on this point. It's amazing because if you were emotionally listening to the Quran, yeah, then your emotion will go like this and like this, isn't it? Because emotionally it's taking you from this spectrum to this spectrum. And the only way I can really explain that to you is like, you know, when you like read a really good book, or maybe when you watch a really good movie. I don't know, you guys probably don't watch movies. But just imagine if you did, or you know someone who does. You know those really good movies? They take you on a roller coaster, don't they? Are you thinking, oh, what's he talking about? But there's something called movies. No, I'm just kidding. So what happens is that, you know, the end of the movie is a culmination, right? Danger. You know, the hero looks like he's met his match. All doom and gloom. Now this is too much now. Now is he going to make it? Oh wow, he does. Yeah, he gets out of it, he wins, and he goes back to friends and family, and he lives happily ever after. You see that combination? The fear, and then the happiness. Together, side by side. For some people, it's too much. You look to your side, the brother's crying his eyes out. What's going on there? That is too much for me, he says. Come on, man up, man. So the contrast, okay, has an emotional, psychological impact on the person. If you knew what it means, emotionally you would be charged. So it is mathani, beautiful, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And your emotion is saying, wow, Allah is so merciful, unbelievable, out of this world, Maliki yawmiddin. SubhanAllah, and he could take me to task for the bad things I do. Up and down, it's like, wow. Yeah, this is from the miraculous nature of the Qur'an. May Allah make us from Ahlul Qur'an, the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this brings us to the end of the dars. Subhanaka Allahumma hamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa jazakumullahu khair. Okay, questions. I know you've been bursting to ask a question. Anyone who needs to leave, they can leave, inshallah. Go ahead. No questions? But you had your hand up though. No? Okay. Yes. Well, the thing is, some people have it like a joint name, like Abd Rahman. That means slave of Rahman. Yeah, no one should have the name Rahman. Should change that name. Should not have the name Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. It's the second last verse. And I think it's verse number 127. Yes.
When you said the word Rahim is permanent, you said if Jannah is eternal.
No, not if Jannah is eternal. I didn't say that.
If Jannah is eternal, then it is
permanent. No. I said the Akhirah is eternal. Any other questions? What about from the sisters? Who can go to the sisters' side? Could we send someone to the sisters' side? Would you be able to go to sister's side and see if they've got any questions? Yeah? We'll just come back, inshallah. Let us know. Yes? Yes? Sorry, brothers that are still with us, please. There's a brother asking a question. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, when you speak about God's mercy and the presence of misfortune, how do you reconcile the two? This is a common question, yeah, age-old question about if God is merciful, then why is there evil, why is there injustice, why is there, etc., etc. There's a number of points to mention. The first is that you have to frame the discussion. If we are talking as two secularists that do not believe in a life to come, then this question has no answer. Because if there's no concept of a life to come, then what's the purpose of it all? Yeah, what's the purpose of it all? There's no purpose. Why did God, wal'iyadu billah, create all this without a purpose? Yeah, either it means he's a bad God, wal'iyadu billah, or there's no God. Yeah, but once you say, hang on a minute, I need to clarify something. You know, there is a life to come. And this life is temporary, and it's a doorway into one of two places. Either a place in paradise or a place in hellfire. Everything in this life is geared towards trying to get us into the right place. Yeah? And part of that is how we deal with difficult situations. Yeah? If we can deal with difficulties in a positive religious way, those difficulties are in fact stepping stones to get into the doors of paradise. Yeah? And this is something which is not an alien concept. We appreciate this concept in our daily lives, like even studying to become whoever you want to become, a professional. The fact is there are things that you have to do that you don't like doing. But when you come out the other side, you're like, you know what? 5 years in uni, all those exams. I used to have nightmares before those exams. But they kind of helped me, you know. I kind of understand things a bit better. I shape my character, you know. I got to meet people. All these things. You start to reflect over the positives, right? So that idea of the struggle having many benefits is not an alien idea. What is the problem is the person doesn't appreciate there's a life to come. And this life is not the end all and be all. This is the main issue. So if you can clarify like this, inshallah, the person will be able to appreciate this salah. I don't know if that helps.
And an extension to that, if it's a Christian asking why Muslims
yes. Yep. Uh-huh. Oh, you mean you're talking about ISIS?
Not ISIS, but just the current situation. This was a Christian person who was asking this question about different takes to
Islam. Just shorten the question for me again. I didn't get the whole question.
Christian asking, yeah.
Yes.
Why are they feeling the pain so collectively in the
East? Okay, so this is the same question again. Yani the fact is that the whole idea is more applicable to a believer than the disbeliever, because a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, for them wants more good than for someone who doesn't believe in him. Yeah, and goodness is shown in many ways. And even subhanAllah, the word Allah described himself as Ar-Ra'uf and Ar-Rahim. And some of the scholars said there's a difference between the two. The difference is that Ar-Ra'uf, okay, is an act of mercy which can be seen as an apparent act of mercy, whichever way you look at it. As for Rahmah, it is an act of mercy that sometimes you cannot appreciate that it is an act of mercy. Kind of like the saying, every cloud has a silver lining. Yeah, same idea. The fact is that the Muslims, through the difficulties that we are all going through, are being awoken from a state of slumber. That is the conclusion. Yeah, and the quicker we can, you know, come to terms with what is happening and why it is happening, the quicker the situation will change for us, inshallah. Okay, same question from sister. Is it permissible for someone's surname to be a Rahman? As far as I know, it is impermissible. We will double check, inshallah, next week. We will tell people to change their names. Now, next week, we'll come and we'll just explain it again, inshallah. Okay, no more questions? Okay. Barakallahu feekum, jazakum Allah khair.
قُلْ رَبِّ إِمَّا تُرِيَنِّي مَا يُوعَدُونَ رب فلا تجعلني في القوم الظالمين وإنا على أن نريك ما نعدهم لقادرون ادفع بالتي هي أحسن السيئة نحن أعلم بما يصفون وقل رب أعوذ بك من همزات الشياطين وأعوذ بك رب أن يحضرون حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما تركت كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون فإذا نفخ في الصور فلا أنساب بينهم يومئذ ولا يتساءلون فمن ثقلت موازينه فأولئك هم المفلحون وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ تَلْفَحُ وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارُ وَهُمْ فِيهَا كَالِحُونَ الله أكبر أَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَكُنْتُمْ بِهَا تُكَذِّبُونَ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا قَالُوا رَبَّنَا غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِقْوَتُنَا وَكُنَّا قَوْمًا ضَالِّينَ رَبَّنَا أخرجنا منها فإن عدنا فإنا ظالمون قال اخسأوا فيها ولا تكلمون إنه كان فريق من عبادي يقولون ربنا آمنا فاغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت خير الراحمين الله أكبر